listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 17th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live. We're always happy that you can make the time to join us in the chat. We appreciate your input, and thanks to those listening to the archive. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to, you know, join us, and hopefully we can make you think, maybe put out some interesting points. And we're always here to explore metaphysics and humanity. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to have a great topic tonight, but we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight's topic is kind of a follow-up from last week. Wendy, one of our regulars and longtime listeners will know her as our card keeper. She had suggested the, future and how it can be constantly shifting and changing. And that relates to a lot of things. And I think, let's go ahead and start with the basic. Let's talk about time and space, the relativity effect, the fact that I lost my train of thought for a moment, but it comes back to, of course, Albert Einstein's famous theory of relativity, equals MC squared, which is, one of the foundational equations of modern physics, and it is really the core of what we're talking about tonight, in the sense of the vastness of possibility, the vastness of future possibility based on today's actions. Not only that, we are going to talk about time and space in general. I think it's interesting to think about the universe at large and how time is relative to speed and position, gravity, all of these things. Real quick, though, Einstein's theory is as this: objects in motion or at rest remain in the same state unless an external force imposes a change. The force acting on an object is equal to the mass of the object multiplied by its acceleration. In other words, you can calculate how much force it takes to move objects with various masses at different speeds. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That was another note. That was Newton's 3 laws of motion, which led to Einstein's relativity. I was jotting some notes down before the broadcast. I had a bad order. My apologies. But
you're doing great, Michael.
Oh, you're just saying that. We had an inside joke that I was going to throw Dr. Hunter the bus and ask what she thought at the beginning of the broadcast. But I didn't do that because I'm a good person. But so what I'm really trying to get at ultimately is to the nature of how today's actions, of course, shape the future in very meaningful ways. And kind of following up on last week's discussion of prophecy and the idea of people who are intuitive, psychics, people who claim to be prophets, the possibility of seeing one version of the future. How can you really know something? Is time set in stone or is it in constant flux? And I think that's an open question that we're going to discuss tonight. Is time fixed? Is it always in place because it's only relative to us? Or is it in a constant state of flux? Is it constantly shifting? Or does that only branch out into the multiverse? Is, you know, every time we have an action and we make one choice, is that creating just different timelines, different multiverses? It's an unanswerable question, but it's a fun question.
Well, I think, Michael, there's the macrocosm of it to look at, the bigger picture, and then there's the microcosms. And I think, for starters, everyone has their own frequency of life. And that doesn't mean events are set in stone, because I think frequency and events have to have that differentiation. Because the universe doesn't know events. The universe only knows frequencies of energy. And that's why when people are projecting for what they want, you better be accurate, because it doesn't paraphrase. Hmm. And so it's like the frequency, if I put it to you this way, in my view, is right now, like you were born in the United States, in South Dakota, I believe, mm-hmm. and you still live in the United States and you live in Florida. So the fact that you were born to a particular family in the U.S. is your frequency, that you're born into a frequency and to that family. But how mm-hmm. that maneuvers and manages it is based on decisions and events. So someone born in Afghanistan, someone born in Africa, someone born in China, and again, regions, locations, that establishes a frequency. Does that make sense? So that to me is a macrocosm. That's the frequency that each of us has. So we have that individually as well as collectively and in whatever area we are.
And the individual frequency being based on the, is it more of a familial frequency or is it more of a cultural frequency about, you know, the, you know, socioeconomic rung of the ladder that you're at, the area that you're in? Kind of
yeah, thing. I think there's a lot of factors. Socioeconomic may have a lot to do with it. However, a lot of poor people get rich and some rich people get poor, and you know, it's opportunity.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, again, where I think zigging when you could have zagged, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know.
Well,
I think that there's a lot of variables in there.
And I think that comes into the idea of free will, doesn't it? I mean, let's tackle free will, come to think of it, because if time is predetermined, do we have free will? You know, huge yeah. elephant in the room on that one. But that being said, let's take free will. And in the sense that if, I don't want to say this.
I think that there is a tremendous amount of free will. However, I think it's also established with variables.
Well, so, of course. Well,
I think capabilities, skill sets, education, all these other variables enter into that free will.
Absolutely. And what I was trying to grasp, and I was trying to remember the metaphor that Dr. Kelly, who's my father, uses when he talks about free will, it's the idea of things being on a menu. You have choices presented to you, options and choices to make, decisions to make, those points of variables, you know, those different divergent points, the forks in the road. And a person born in Afghanistan is going to have a much different menu per se than a person mm-hmm. born in the West or the United States, or, you know, it just differs based on that, based on circumstance. And that circumstance does have an effect on the path that you're on, the frequency. You know, I think of it more as the path that you kind of get set on. And I think that's where free will comes into it, and our ability to potentially change the future. And, you know, It'd be a lot easier to have this discussion if we could finally just figure out time front and back. I mean, is it infinite? Is it cyclical? The idea of the future being in constant flux, if the future is in constant flux and time is not fixed and, you know, events are not fixed, is the past possibly in flux? And how would we even know it?
I was having a big think with myself about this the last couple of days, believe it or not. I was about time. I had done a reading for a client the other day, and I had said to her, you're thinking of doing something, and I don't think that's going to go in your favor. Well, turns out she had only just printed off the computer papers to go after her ex for more child support. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't think that's going to go in your favor. And I said, if you can hang on, because you're managing, hang on, next year is going to be a lot more profitable for you. You're going to be doing something else as well as what you're doing. Keep your independence as much as possible. Now, you see, that was my suggestion to her. But then it went on to say, I went on to kind of clarify why I said that. I said, I don't think your ex is going to handle this very well. And she said, well, he gives me nothing but trouble. And I said, well, why do you want to poke him? Now, and it's just because there are layers in that energy, in that conversation, and that I wouldn't know about until she clarifies it. But that's what you go with that intuition about time. And I said, give yourself till February, March before you make those decisions, because your life is going to be very different in 3 months.
Right.
Now, as a reader and how I see time space, it doesn't exist as one point of event.
I mean,
so when you're talking time space, Michael, I see it in many layers.
Well, and I was curious about that too, and this, which I'm happy that you brought up. It's a perfect segue into the question of when you have an intuition, when you have a sense, right? How do you judge how far into the future a possibility is? You know, how do you know how soon this is going to happen? How do you know if it's going to be in a year? How do you know it's going to be in 10 years?
Well, my timing has been off. And when it's been off, it's usually off within a year or two. So, yeah, that happens. And I know that because I've been doing this a long time and I get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody doesn't call me for 2 or 3 years. They give me a call and say, I went through my notes and it was a little longer than that. But so I generally say to people, I'm going to go out on a limb. And feel from what I'm seeing here, this is the next few months. That could be a year, but my sense is the next few months. And I have to just trust what I'm seeing, but there's no question, Michael, my timing could be off. And I've also seen it as though when I lay cards and I'm tuning in, I feel like there's a dial, you know, and I could be dialed into the future, I can be dialed into the past. So it's really tough to dial into now. And so the first few things that I say to somebody, I said, do you relate to that? Well, kind of. And I say, okay, I'm in the future now. But if somebody says, you know, that's already happened, I said, okay, so dial forward. And I can dial time. I know that sounds bonkers, and I don't understand it myself. But that's why I like to use numbers. When I get off, I found this is so useful. I see everything in some universal mathematical equation somehow, not unlike a software in a program. You know, you've got or the ones and O's and, you know, ones and zeros and all that stuff. So I tune into somebody's numbers and I can see where their cycles are better. And that helps me out with the dial of time a lot better than it used to do 30, 40, 50 years ago. But I want my disclaimer is doing readings 50 years ago, and again, for the grace of age, I can say these things. 50 years ago, the air was clearer, and it was easier to read somebody's full life. And life has changed, time has changed, time space has changed, dimensions have changed.
Do you think population has a thing to do with that? Is it noisier because there's more of us? I think double the amount of people on this planet? Or is it because we seem to be more fractured? But then again, haven't we always been fractured in a way? We just didn't have the social media to know it. And
well,
I'm talking really globally, too.
I hinted at it last week that conditioning in a society was more stabilized. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say we're more fractured, that's a good word for it. And everything is more vocal. And it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like everything has always got this rumble happening. Mm-hmm. And so many more things. You got more people driving cars. Like, again, my term about everybody wants to get to Walmart. How do you get there? So you have a goal. How do you get there? Because we're navigating more things. Things are more competitive. You have to have more education. You better know social media. You know what I'm saying? And if you have, there was more opportunity in my mind when things were more simplified to my area, when, you know, I could go out and sell something versus now I have to be this social media genius to be able to sell something. So,
the community square has changed. It is no longer a physical place.
So in doing readings, and you know how does our intuition work? It's not unlike that. But can you be objective enough to see your own life to know whether to turn left or right? And we all make those errors. Mm-hmm. That's the whole learning of it. Well, because I can look back in my life and I can pinpoint exactly where, you know, my head was where it shouldn't have been, and my priorities were different. But getting back on my own frequency, because when you join up with somebody else's frequency, now you're changed as well. See?
Right. Well,
so it's...
Absolutely. We're social creatures. You know, when we... It's a big part of who we are is who we choose to be with and associate with and who we draw from as well. That's why, you know, not to say that you have to, you know, only hang out with the creme de la creme of people, but, you know, the point being is that be aware of it. You know, be aware of, you know, what lessons are you perhaps unconsciously pulling from other people, just like it said. I think that's a great point.
I think it's pretty simple. If you hang out with a bunch of drug dealers, it's a pretty good chance, even though you haven't done it, you're going to get busted. Mm. And that's guilt by association. And that's something that I really imparted to my kids growing up, is keep in mind, I'm not saying to be prejudiced about people, but I'm saying to be particular that anything happens, you're guilty by association. And so we're making those choices. One son-in-law was talking to my granddaughter, and he coined it really well. It's how you establish your life and what decisions you make in that platform about how you're going to evolve from there.
Right.
And if you have exams and you need to do well, you have to study. If you don't study and you fail, well, you're setting yourself up for what's coming next. Mm-hmm. And that's how we have more manageability, I think, in our time space and how we apply ourselves to what's in front of us and what we're doing. But everything is filled with decisions, so nothing is written in stone. And I really believe that. And the whole point of getting a reading is to give you a heads up. And a heads up, but in a good way, because you don't want to be a fear monger. You don't want to, you know, freak people out and give them too much detail. Is very scary. People don't need those details. They need the essence of what's coming in events.
I think they need to be able to react genuinely in the moment without thinking about that moment ahead of time or over analyzing or overthinking. I think there has to be an element of perhaps, maybe, I don't know if surprise is quite the right word, but I don't even want to say ignorance, but it is.
You know, I can cite a lot of examples of, times where with clients and myself about knowing kind of ahead of time. What's very difficult to deal with is just very recently I have a regular client. I've known her for 25 years, and He's in a difficult marriage, but he's persisting. And he called me up last week, and he's hurt himself. And so instead of putting his anger outside himself, he's hurting himself, and he gave himself a concussion.
Oh, geez.
And so we talked through that about his choices. But the validating of this came first. And then, again, I said, I'm going to remind you, you need to meet your dark side. Make peace with your dark side so that you're in management of yourself. Well, he messaged me later and said he'd gone through his notes of the last 5 years of our sessions together. And he said, you have mentioned this to me many times. And you told me 2 years ago that I was going to burst if I didn't meet that other side of myself. And that's his anger. And it's good that he's not hurting others. But I said it's no different than, you know, like domestic abuse. They hit you once and they promise never to do again. That's not likely the case. So you have to get to the bottom of what's there. So those things, that's where we're this constant. When you talk about time, space, we are in this constant evolution of ourselves. So that's why I bring that up. Constant evolution of ourselves. Like this woman was thinking about going after her ex for more child support. She's in her own evolution of herself and feeling vulnerable and helpless and persecuted as opposed to independent and you can do this. You know, so what will come as a result? Well, it's the creation of ourselves as well as that the density of space-time that's happening around us all the time. This isn't an easy life to be in, although we have a lot of amenities.
We do.
That make us think we're having a good life.
Well,
but it's equally challenging to be a human being now as it was 1,000 years ago, only different expression of the same thing.
Right, because we have to figure out how to manage the same social, you know, labyrinth. We have to deal with different kinds of problems. They're more philosophical, existential. They're more of our own making instead of the very real fight for survival, which we don't need to fight with anymore. Humans in our boredom, I think we've created new things to fight over and to be worried about. And this, I mean, we can't deny that for the first time in the modern era in our history, we haven't had to consistently struggle for survival. And I know that there were groups throughout time that didn't, but for the majority of humanity, it's been a real struggle that we don't have.
Well, I think a lot of people struggle in ways we don't see.
Well, they do, but it's not. And I guess this is very different depending on where you are, and I'm being very specific to the first world, to the United States, Canada, you know, places like that. Because I am very aware that there are places all over the planet that are still in, you know, painful poverty and that struggle to live day to day, and by which I mean just to feed yourself, just to keep, you know, water available.
I think, though, Michael, that's because the U.S. equals quote unquote opportunity. And I think that there's still many millions of people in the United States who would disagree with you. So, you know, because they're not in that, you know, they're at the bottom end. So they would say, yeah, but my water's poisoned and, I can't, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
there's a lot of reasons.
To say that things are better is not to say that everything's perfect. And we can objectively see that things are better for the majority percentage, but there are billions of us on the planet. The bottom rung still encompass millions of people. But in an era where if a poison water supply came about, a town just might literally die off, now you will have illness and you will have people that might very likely will die, and that's unfortunate. But you will also have influx of support. You'll have bottled water being brought in. You'll have different things like that. There are systems in place, and really at this stage, we have the means to take care of everyone. We have the technological ability.
Yes.
It is simply a matter of choice that we make as a society. Then that's really what I'm talking about. The problems that we have are now self-made, whereas in the past, we were very literally fighting against the natural world. Now we're fighting against each other because we've mastered the ability to keep ourselves alive.
I totally agree with you. I think that this is where how we move forward. It's, you know, the energy is in place for us to do good and well. And it's a matter of our decisions, collectively our decisions, that begins at an individual level. And again, though, people, whether it's corporations or governments, worried about the numbers at the end of this quarter, as opposed to the long-term effects. And this is our problem. We become a very reactive. I want to know if I'm going to meet a man tomorrow, and what's he going to look like? And I repeatedly tell people, I'm not telling you that. And I said, because you'll screw it up and you'll blame me. So, you know, and it's have patience, have time, evolve, let it happen organically. But, you know, do the right thing as much as you can in the here and now, being true to yourself, being true to others. You know, what's so interesting to me is how we have cultivated this reactionary fear if we don't, that we're not going to have something tomorrow. And that has made a lot of people very indulgent. They have to have more, bigger houses. Right now in British Columbia, we're in a state of emergency for flooding. And I'm watching people. I just went down to the stores today and everything is empty because there's no, obviously there's no trucking. The transports are down. The trains are down. So people have gone into a panic. There's already alternatives. Other help is on the way. Things will get going again, but people are terrified, much like at the beginning of the pandemic, buying toilet paper.
I never understood
now,
that.
They're buying fruits and vegetables that are going to rot in their fridges, but they need to have it. You know what I mean?
It's a base instinct.
It's like, go and hoard.
And that's the problem, is when we allow base instincts to drive our actions instead of incorporating reason. Now, instinct is a powerful and necessary tool for existing in this world. It is the software, the blueprint by which we're, you know, existing as human beings. Mm-hmm. But if we were not to also add our consciousness, our reason, our ability to think critically to that, we're not going to be being human. And I think when we talk about the actions we take today being able to shape the future, that's a very real one. Yeah. The decisions we make today in our communities, you know, nobody is going to, you know, change everybody in the whole world. But we do have an impact in our community. We have an impact in our circle. And it will ripple more than you think it will.
Yeah, smile at the grocery store.
What's that?
A smile at the grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we sound so cliche, don't we? But
I prefer cliche.
We're talking about frequencies of energy, time, space. Mm-hmm. What energy are you putting out? And even if you have to put some effort into that, what kind of energy then begins to ripple?
Right.
Because the one thing I have said in my entire life, for everything that's happened to me, they cannot have my spirit. My spirit is mine.
Oh, that's so very well said.
I determine my own soul's evolution. You can't break me. You can mess with your mind, my mind. You can mess with my body. You can break my heart. You can disappoint me. But you cannot take my spirit. And that is something I made a promise to myself when I was a very young girl. And I have not broken that promise. And that's what I think is again, that do no harm, do right, was because I saw so much violence and I saw so much corruption. And I said, no, that darkness can't have me. No, that's not what's going to happen here. And as we make decisions in our life, we all have a dark side, but that propels an energy. We have dark and light within us.
Oh, absolutely.
So when you make friends with that dark side, I know what I'm capable of. But I am the one in charge. My spirit is in charge of me. I'm remembering my spirit. And I will decide how I behave. I decide what I put out there. Do I get angry? Do I get frustrated? Absolutely. But it comes and goes like in the snap of a finger. Sometimes it lasts 10 minutes, you know? And then it goes away because I'm in charge. But that allows me also to have a little more intuition, a little more stabilization. And the older I get, of course, my priorities have totally changed. And so it's knowing what that is now. I believe that affects time-space, Michael.
Oh, absolutely.
The older we get, the more time slips away, but the memories are like, I feel like sometimes I can touch, taste, and smell things that happened 50, 60 and plus years ago. The memories get clearer and fuller, and that's the only way I can explain that. So what is time then except a construct of our minds and how we're living in a physical form on a planet?
Well, exactly.
Because the spirit doesn't know time.
And that's
spirits don't know that.
The abstract, non-corporeal existence that, you know, many theorize the soul exists in when it's not in the physical form. And I've always thought that if you say that you can't have something come from nothing, then everything that exists has always existed and always will exist, and time had no beginning, will have no end. But, you know, I think to what you were saying earlier, just a shout out to Jamil in chat. He had made a comment of that making peace with your dark side is part of shadow work, which I think is right along the lines of what you were saying. And I think it's if I'm not mistaken, kind of a psychological term about the unconscious, the part of ourselves that we don't necessarily want to think of as being who we are.
Well, we're animals, first of all.
We're very smart animals, but we're animals.
Yeah, we're primal. We have that that other side. It's organically built into this experience. And as I was explaining to my client the other day, because he wanted to have a better understanding of what I really meant about that dark side, and he used to be a pig farmer and had a lot of critters, but primarily pork. And I said, when you had to kill a chicken, where do you go in your mind except into a void? And when you've had to put down an animal or butcher a pig, where do you go in your mind? Oh, I said, because in that little fold of time is the dark side, the place that tunes out, shuts down, you know, that has to take care of this in order to survive. That's in there in that shadow work, as Jamil is saying. Otherwise, you know, what is that? Mm-hmm. That you're able to end a life, to take a life, no matter what kind of life it is. Trust me, when I've had to kill a chicken, I have serious PTSD. And, once it's dead, I can clean it. But taking it, I couldn't do it because it's really affects my psyche.
Yeah.
Because I know where you have to go in your mind to do that. And yet, well, I think nothing, this is what's interesting about that consciousness of what we're talking about, is I think nothing of swatting a fly.
Well, that's true. And to be fair, and I hope I'm not being, you know, some kind of biased in this, a fly does not have the same value of life that a higher level life form does.
Like you say, Buddhists believe that's not true, what you're saying.
Well, so. And I believe the Buddhists are wrong, and that's just the way it is. But no, actually, I do love a lot of Buddhist tenets. But I will say, and I might even be able to talk a Buddhist into this, and actually I've incorporated a lot of Buddhist philosophy into my own personal mix, but the capacity for a creature's level of awareness is their capacity to suffer. So a fly does not have the same capacity, insofar that we can possibly know. It does not have the same capacity to suffer, to dwell on its suffering, to be aware of its suffering. Right. That an animal with more computing power, with more awareness has.
And you see it again, what we're aware of. How aware are we to know what that is? And again, I think that those are in energy, consciousness, time, space. It all kind of in those layers. You see, it's what do we know?
Yeah.
We don't know much, and we know a lot, but we don't know much. I'm saying because now we also understand better. Science has proven this, that trees talk to each other and feed their young. You know, and blade of grass, when it's cut, when you smell that grass, that's the grass going into shock and screaming. And they have audio. So,
well, that's awful, because the smell of fresh-cut grass is wonderful. Now you just ruined it for me, Dr. Hunter.
I know. Well, I'm just saying that
we really are
understanding more about energy in our universe than we've ever known before. And what do we know? And so what does the future hold?
Right.
Trust me, my parents wouldn't even have thought somebody could go to the moon. And yet, look, we're traveling in space, taking joyrides.
Well, so you think, except for the fact that there's an ice wall where Antarctica is supposed to be, and NASA's a fake. But I'm sorry, that's a...
digress.
I had a seizure there. What was I saying? Probably something foolish. Anyway.
But I think that if we're understanding in our daily lives, as we go through our daily lives, is to navigate that life. I really like that word, Michael, navigating. It's because it's truly about taking the steps one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pausing as we go to make really good decisions, or the best that we have at the moment. They may not be ideal, but we're all getting to Walmart. You know, I mean, right. You'll get there.
And that's really the goal for all of us in life, is to get to Walmart.
Get to Walmart. Hey, and... because everybody has a goal, even if it means, how do I find food today? That's a goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do I make $1 million? I don't know. I bought a lotto ticket, but you know, they tease me with $2 wins.
I bought one lotto ticket for myself, and I won like $60, and I called it good.
Yeah,
now I have
100%.
I have a, you know, I'm batting 1,000 right now. So...
You're way ahead of me.
Not counting the lotto tickets that I've been given, because I've lost a lot of those. But the actual one that I bought, not one I won. That's what I'm counting. So
there you go. But I'm just saying that that's where I think that where we are in our frequency is relative to the time, space, and going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the ability to... you know, make decisions as we go.
Right.
And Dr. Edwards saying the bright side is that is the fly will evolve into a higher life form, just say.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know. So it's I love this conversation because it begins to open our minds and remember who we are, that we are an evolving species learning about things that includes our intuition as well as ourselves organically, you know, and opening our consciousness. And going forward in life, do the best you can and try to make decisions that don't harm yourself, you know. And maybe it's not the full meal deal of what you want, but it's a step, see. And so what's that platform? Every step that you take is the next platform for the next moment. And again, we're talking time-wise, because this lifetime essentially is a blink.
Oh, it is.
It's a blink.
Very much so. I mean, time is infinite, and we're alive for maybe 100 years, if we're lucky. Yeah, I'd say that it's just a blink of an eye. But it's unknowable, at least to me, you know, how many lives we've had, what our existence will be after. What is time? Is 100 years nothing? Is 100 years as much as 100 million years? Because in the abstract, non-corporeal existence, it's all meaningless. And, you know, I really wanted to also emphasize, as we wrap up this topic and we get on some cards, that, yes, we do have the menu of possibilities for our free will. Yes, we do have the culture that we're born into, and, you know, we're born into a culture, but we also shape that culture that we're born into. It's a give and take. It's something that, yes, we're influenced by dramatically, but we can also influence. So, really, we need to be the ones that are going to be building the world that we want to live in. We can't wait for somebody else to do it, and we can't assume that somebody else is going to do it. We can't just sit back and not be an active participant in this world, because then we don't have a say. We don't have a say in the culture that's being formed. We have to be active participants in the communities around us and bring those values of metaphysical humanism, of, you know, being kind of detached from a scary dogmatic thing, religions based on fear. If we can be an active member in our community and we can bring these metaphysical thoughts to bear, we can try to improve the societies around us.
You know, I think that we don't all have to be, you know, famous to do our work. Some of the best work is done quietly.
Absolutely.
And it's the bigger contributions. I mean, I am a big Greta Thunberg fan. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man, that girl, she's magical, but she's driven and willing to go out in the line. I don't have that in my nature to do that necessarily.
Well, she's...
But I'm good at working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Now, if she wanted me to build a sign for her, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
See,
because we each have our place.
Exactly. Like me, I would never want to be, you know, leader of the world, but I would like to be leader of the Illuminati, like the shadow government. That'd be fun. I don't want to be on the front lines. I don't want to be like on the newspapers. I just want to be in control of everything. But no, and I think with Greta Thunberg, a lot more pressing. You know, there's a lot of concerns that people have that somebody to younger generations are not going to have because they see it as something that's very much going to be affecting their lives. Now, the trick is, you know, it's unfortunately going to be affecting all of our lives, and it is right now, and it's only going to be becoming worse. But the planet will survive, you know, talking about time and space and the vastness of it. The Earth has gone through far worse extinction events than the one that we're bringing. The Earth is going to be fine. Natural
life will
rebound.
As long as they don't try to bring back the hairy mammoth, I think that's so insane.
Hey, you don't know how they taste. Let's just wait and eat one, and then we can decide, all right?
That's
fair enough?
Yeah, okay. Okay, we're going to pick cars now. Like, yeah. Talk about time space. 45 minutes went by. This is, you know, we can get into it. We can sure talk, Michael. And the audience has stayed with us. Thank you very much, everybody. If this is the point where Michael draws a card from Dr. Kelly's Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and I back it up with a tarot, mm-hmm. and we'll see what happens.
All right. So I have been trying to catch names, and my chat's acting a little wonky, so I hope I get everybody. Dr. Hunter, I'm hoping that you can back me up on this.
Let's go with Jamil first.
And that's who I have as well. And Jamil, I have wild card number 3, blocks.
All right.
There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
I got the Ace of Diamonds in support of that, Jamil. I like it. It just, you know, again, I'm going to use the word navigate. Moving forward with finances, value for value, so to speak. So if you consider that, I don't know, I have a thing about 3 times you're out, right? But if you're seeing blocks, then just change course or wait for the right timing, because I think that some of this is clearing up for you now, whatever's been there, and it's going to be smoother sailing. So I see a little extra money around the corner. Gee, I sound like a fortune teller saying that. Oh, my. But it's you know, I kind of chuckling to myself how I sound. But that's what I see for you, Jamil. Things are coming around for you. It'll get better.
All right.
I have Edward next.
Dr. Edward, I have number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. Good card. I think we pulled that card last week, and if I remember, I think Wendy told us that we had never pulled that card before. So, if my memory serves, that's twice in a week.
Well, Edward also got in support of that, the magician. Now that's alchemy. So think what you're in that shift, that kind of shift, Edward, and positive consciousness. I know you're studying more, you're reading more, investigating, but I think it also is saying that this is in support of your transformation. I'm going to go out on a limb and feel like you're reinventing yourself in some way. So we're letting go of some other barrier thoughts and kind of moving forward. So that's exciting. But that's what I call it, that internal level. Rather than external, it's internal. You'll be able to manifest other things later. So, that, but for now, it's an internal shift.
Hmm? All right. And now, I think we have Dr. Jeff next. Is that what you have as well?
You go right ahead with Dr. Jeff because I missed a couple of names there. Go ahead, Michael. Yep.
All right. So, Dr. Jeff, I have wildcard number 7, Hope. And Dr. Jeff, by the way, glad to have you join us tonight. Always a pleasure to have you. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. Good card.
Ooh. Jeff, you got the Hanged Man. I love that. The Hanged Man truly is my favorite card in the whole deck, you know. And because he reminds me of Odin on the Tree of Yggdrasil. And it's kind of, who are you without the physical world? And reaching really deep inside yourself and then being able to see the world differently. So I want to say you're in a process, and Hope and Hanged Man is, oh, that's really powerful, Jeff. You're onto something. The shift is here and the whole world is opening to you. I love that. Okay, so Bridget next. We get a lot of names popping up, Michael, and we're going to run out of time, so...
We are, because...
Partly my fault for talking too much.
Oh, come on. No, it's my fault for talking too much. All right, but, Dr. Bridget, I have number 36, gratitude. Let's see. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
I have the 2 of clubs for you in support of that. And that's looking into the future, in my view. And 2 is an active number. It's a movement number. And so gratitude, I think you are taking all that gratitude and moving it into your future and seeing more possibilities for yourself. And that's, this means it's a really good time for you. So that's your affirmation today.
Very nice. All right. Our card keeper, Wendy, is up next. Wendy, let's see. Number 19, invoke the counselor within. Invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there, for this may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Wendy, the counselor within, and the support card is 5 of clubs. It's really going deep inside to avoid conflict. And then you win. See, I see the 5 of clubs as a really good card. But when I look at both those energies together, it's a situation, or let's say situations unfolding, where you have to be the adult. And that's going to serve you really well. So that's what I get there for you.
All right. Very nice. So,
is it Charles who's up next?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And Charles, I have wild card number 4, Unknowable.
My favorite.
That's a good one. Let's see. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. That's a great card, and it goes right along with what we've been talking about tonight.
I love that. Charles, the 5 of clubs in support of that. Now, a picture came to my mind of coming home to yourself, and in that there's a celebration. And so in moving forward, you're going forward in a better place is what I want to say. So having kind of collected yourself, and I think emotionally, intellectually, I hope I'm not getting too personal here, but it's like you're more together now than you were before. Before could
Very
be relative
good.
To a long time ago. But as you move forward now, whoa, you're a powerhouse. So anything is possible from here.
Very nice. All right. And we have Serenity. So glad to see you join us again, Serenity.
Yep.
All right, Serenity, I have number 8, Balance and Order. All right, let's see. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present, or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Ooh, you're going to love this, Serenity. The sun. Yeah, the sun is all about new life, right? And that vibrancy. So with the balance and order comes new life. And I feel like, and I think in past conversations, if I'm remembering that essence correctly, is you've been establishing some things for yourself to create that, and this says you're on it. So this is you're growing new things, and it's going to start to flourish for you. But I want to just say this, though. It's going to flourish in a way that's unfamiliar to you. So don't think that you can control what's coming. It's you have a picture, but let it grow in its own way, because that's more the correct way for you, but you don't know it yet. So I'll go with that.
All right.
It's a good one.
Very nice. Excuse me. All right. And our last card of the evening, if I have this correctly, is Ronaldo.
I think so too. Yep.
All right. Ronaldo, I have number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Ronaldo, I got the King of Diamonds. So here's what I'm inclined to say to you. Excuse me, I'm clearing my throat here. Sorry, I had to mute myself for a second. That's what happens when you try to have a drink of something and talk at the same time. It doesn't always go down the right way. Ronaldo, Truth and the King of Diamonds says to me about taking ownership more about your nature, your character, and that's where I want to go with this. It's fitting into what suits you best, and there's your success. So when you own the truth of that, like I'm not a real good 9-to-5 girl. I can do that temporarily for people. I don't mind. But I exist way better self-employed. And taking contract work, and you know that's the way I'm structured. I tried the other stuff; it doesn't. I get depressed. I get miserable. It's not suited to me. And if you're doing the wrong kind of job, that eats at you too. You know, if you are 9-to-5, or you know, so own who you are and how you function. There is your success.
Very well said.
Have we got it all, Michael?
I do believe we do. All right. Well, you know, it's been a very engaging discussion. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. You kicked us off to the start, so that's good.
Oh, you're welcome. I do what I can. But
you're a smart cookie, Michael.
Well, that's what I tell myself every morning in the mirror, but it's more of like a, you know, trying to convince myself thing as opposed to an affirmation, but I'm just kidding. Anyway, well, it's really an all-encompassing topic, the idea of time and space and changing futures. And I believe very strongly that if there is such a thing as prophecy, that it is, I mean, you can see a potential future, but that might not come to pass. And if you can change something, if what good is a prophecy if it's not going to change the future? Otherwise, it's just a, you know, spoiler. I mean, it is important that because we go ahead.
The reactions could be on a bigger scale that we're not aware of, such as our contributions to climate change. You know, we think we're just caring about our everyday kind of life, but we got to look at that long-term effects also. That's for time space. That's where I kind of go with that. Sorry, Michael, I injected that, but.
Oh, of course. I encourage injecting, you know. Let's create that content, you know. Yeah. But no, it's been a pleasure. And again, my biggest point that I wanted to convey was we don't know that things are predetermined. We have every right to believe that we are creating the future that we will see right here and right now. Let's not forget that. Let's be a part of this. Let's be a part of this world and make it a better place. So any other last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, I love it. You summed it up nicely. And I think we start to leave our audience because we've been on for an hour. So we've kind of gone over our time. But I have really enjoyed this conversation.
It's been a good one.
And we'll do it again next week.
We will. It's going to be a fascinating, groundbreaking, you know, amazing topic. But until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.